Is this thing on?
All right, let's get this show on the road. Okay.
The Coffee and Carling Show, episode 35.
There it is. Episode 35. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Come all and I'll be here.
Whatever that might mean, do you?
I don't know. Welcome.
Big happy coffee to you. You drinking coffee?
Oh yeah, coffee, eh? The finest of coffee. What do you got
there?
What
are you drinking? No, what do you got
there? No, you.
No, what are you drinking?
I got my old faithful. What do you got?
Yep, same. I got some no, I don't. I made Decaffeinatio de Tritigio's coffee. This is a coffee made of decaffeinated beans and a little bit of cream in there, a little bit of maple syrup in there, and I got my seaweed.
That's wonderful. So get right over the mic. I don't know how people eat that stuff. My wife's kids always gobble on that. And then I say, clean the crap off your teeth because your teeth are all going to be coated, layered with seaweed pieces. It's a beautiful thing.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's good, though. Yeah.
So this week's coffee heroes, not seaweed eaters people, but our real coffee heroes. They're John. Or John Bart, Lee and Tom, and Anonymous. So thank you guys for sponsoring today's episode. And yeah.
Salt of the earth people there, especially the guy who didn't even credit himself or girl.
Yes, you know? Anonymous. Yeah, if you want credit, you got to put your name in. But yeah. Speaking of salt, is that stuff not like crazy salty?
Oh, it's so salty. The good stuff is. You probably have had the stuff that you're...
I don't eat it. I tasted a little pinch. I'm like, I'm not eating that. I'm not.
Oh yeah.
Water rabbit.
Oh. Sign me up for being water rabbit school, man. I'll do it. I'll hop in the water. So
what have you been up, Dingling? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to?
Yeah.
What about the jokes?
The jokes. Oh, yes, of course, the jokes. Well, you know what? Special treat for you.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you want to explain to the people why we're back on the Zoom while I look up my joke here?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have this really nice software that we paid for and are currently paying for.
Twice.
Second time we've given it a shot. And it tends to not work. It shuts down every time we try and use it. So it's been
an hour.
Yeah.
With that said, this is the reason I'm saying that, because I'm going to give you an old classic joke. And I'm very excited to share, because of the jokes that we failed on weren't that good anyway. So we're going along.
All right.
I am telling you one of my favorite jokes ever. And I know that you've heard it, but the folks at home may not have.
Yeah.
So this is from our great Canadian comic hero, Norm Macdonald, and it's called The Moth Joke.
No. Really?
Yes, it is.
All right, here we go.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office, and the podiatrist's office says, "What seems to be the problem, moth?" The moth says, "What's the problem? Where do I begin, man? I go to work for Gregory Ilulovich, and all day long I work. Honestly, Doc, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I don't even know if Gregory Ilulovich knows. He only knows that he has power over me, and that seems to bring him happiness. But I don't know. I wake up in a malaise. I walk here and there. At night, I sometimes wake up and turn to some old lady in my bed that's on my arm, a lady that I once loved, Doc. I don't know where to turn to. My youngest, Alexandria, she fell. She fell in the cold of last year. The cold took her down, as it did many of us. And my other boy, and this is the hardest pill to swallow, Doc, my other boy, Gregoro Ivan Ilulovich, I no longer love him. As much as it pains me to say, when I look in his eyes, all I see is the same cowardice that I catch when I take a glimpse of my own face in the mirror. If only I wasn't such a coward, then perhaps I could bring myself to reach over to that cocked and loaded gun that lays on the bedside behind me and end this hellish facade once and for all. Doc, sometimes I feel like a spider, even though I'm a moth, just barely hanging onto my web with an everlasting fire underneath me. I'm not feeling good. So the doctor says, Moth, man, you're troubled, but you should be seeing a psychiatrist. Why on earth did you come in here? And the moth says, because the light was on.
Are you serious right now? Oh,
I love it so much.
I tried to find the applause sound on YouTube, but all I'm getting is ads.
There we go. We're going to miss that. Nope.
Can't hear it. Not the same, is it?
Nope, not the same. That's the only reason we got the other software, but I love that joke.
Wow. That's a bad joke. It's a good joke, but it's a good bad joke.
It's a great joke.
The lights on the bit.
It's all in the
amount of detail is amazing. Yeah. He really, when he tells that joke too, he stretches it out for like 8 minutes, doesn't he?
Oh yeah. No, he does it on Conan O'Brien's show, and he really drags it out. Mm. It's great. But anyway, how is the weather at your end over there? Because I should not be drinking coffee. I should be replenishing a gallon of water that I sweated out today.
Yep.
This is like peak summer weather here. I even got my short pants on.
Yeah.
Just sweating. I worked outside all day, so I'm probably gonna have some sunburn and yeah. I don't know, a summer guy.
Really?
Nope.
Well, it's weird about us in Michigan. We get the polar extremes, and very seldom do we get that that middle kind of space where it's nice out. You know, we have incredible cool. We have the Michigan cold, which is like, you know, an average of what, like 20 or so, 30 degrees in the winter. And then as it gets warmer, you get this delayed time. Sometimes you'll have maybe 2 or 3 days in the 70s, but then it jumps right to like 85 and 90. And it seems that way a lot of times, at least. So,
well, right now it's 29 degrees Celsius, but I have no idea what that is in your language.
Hey, Google, what is 29 degrees Celsius in Fahrenheit?
29 degrees Celsius is equivalent to 84.2 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep, that's hot.
No, it's 82 in here right now, which is similar temperature. So
you got your man pants on, you got your overalls.
My man pants. My man pants. What is that supposed to mean? What do I usually have on?
I
don't know.
I just always feel silly when I put my short pants on again because it's just so odd.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean.
It just feels silly.
Well, the other thing is, God gave me these really beautiful little teeny tiny toothpicks for calves. So when I show them off, you know, I just there's kids running and screaming, parents trying to hide their kids from me, stuff like that.
Are your legs as hairless as your face?
No, my legs are probably hairier. Look at that.
Well, that's beautiful. I did not see it.
The world got to see something that they didn't want to see, or maybe I blessed them. Who knows?
You never know.
What have you been up to? How has this week been so far for you?
Well, I'll be quick because this week has been an absolute whirlwind. Mm. Mother is still in the hospital, and so my father is at home and he needs care, and so I basically moved in there, spent four nights overnight there with him and taking care of him a little bit, and back and forth to the hospital and working a couple jobs. It's been crazy, crazy, crazy. But you know, I hope they listen to this sometime. And I was always told how stubborn I am, you know, but dealing with both of them, it's not my fault.
Dude, I know which
product. I am a product of my parents.
Yep. Yeah.
Stubborn old people. So,
well, there. Tell us, Doug, where do you fall in the nature versus nurture spectrum? Yeah.
Either way, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Right. But yeah, so that's what I've been doing. It's been crazy. And all kinds of crazy conversations and appointments and stuff that the boys are all dealing with. And it's different. Mm. But I hadn't made a video in like a couple, 3 weeks. So I did get to make a video. Of course, I didn't do what I wanted to do. And that was getting out of the carving room and exploring and carving and stuff. But I did do a little carving demo, which I said I probably wouldn't do at the desk here again. Mm-hmm. And that was these, I don't know if I showed these before or not, but the Easter Island heads.
Mm.
Real fun, simple carving. But the reception, it was as expected, and that's why I wanted to get out of the carving room and make videos fun again.
Mm.
I don't know. I think maybe it's summer. We'll call it summer because of summer. But I think the carving tutorials are really, really on the decline, and just need to go and do stuff again.
Yep.
And so,
yeah, I get that though. I mean, I feel like when I'm not watching as many. The only stuff that I'm really watching a lot of still is interviews. I like to watch interviews or people talking, or those are the kind of podcasts that I like, which is, I mean, part of the reason that we're probably doing this is because we both like these kind of podcasts, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, so. For sure. But sometimes I think maybe there's all the guys that we're going to start carving have started carving. And to move along, but anyway.
Wouldn't
that be something if there's only so many carvers allowed?
Yeah,
we don't need any more beginner tutorials, Doug. give us some meat. We're done with the soup. Give us some meat.
Yeah,
but
well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there was a comment this week of someone saying, you know, Doug, when are you going to make a bark carving instructional video?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, we know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. Do we?
What is that?
Alec has a carving school.
Mm.
And I would never, I can't do bark tutorials. That would just be like kicking him in the ears, right?
No. I don't know.
Well, in my mind, I don't need to. But I don't mind doing demonstrations. You know, sure. a wise observer will pick up enough in a demonstration to get going too. But no, I won't be teaching any bark carving. That's for sure. But I definitely will be doing demonstrational type videos and stuff like the last bark carving. I kind of like doing it because I made it. You know, you take a 3-hour video and you only have to make it like 12 minutes and then people might actually watch it.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It's more, if you're not into carving, at least you can watch it for the entertainment factor of seeing something come out of the wood and it's not long and boring like a tutorial.
Right.
Like, to be fair, I bore myself in my tutorials.
Yeah.
So it's fun to make something a little bit quicker.
Yeah. And it's fun too to, there's like two things when you're, you know, the kind of YouTube videos that I was making before were just to try and get my metrics up and to try to get something out there so I could get monetized. Yeah. So for like the first couple months of getting jazzed about YouTube, or a few months, all I was doing was just filming whatever I was doing, throwing it on a stream on an editing software and then posting it. And I started to watch your videos and Mav's videos and, you know, the Dobrik stuff. This was a long time ago before the scandals and all this other stuff that's out there. Emma Chamberlain, I love the fact that a lot of times she wasn't doing anything, right? But
no,
not so much, but it's still somehow entertaining to watch. And I'm realizing through watching these that the editing in those types of videos is as much fun as the, or as much an art and a creative process as the projects themselves or the things.
Oh yeah. First 100% editing is the key because it's gotta be snappy and quick and you gotta hold attention the whole time. Bang, 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 like 6 seconds, 5 seconds, 4 seconds, like bang, bang, bang. But I think again, it's nobody's fault but my own. Like the tutorials, I put too much effort into it. So I overthink things. I carve five or six of them before I make the tutorial. Mm. Whereas a demonstration is like, Doug has a piece of wood. Right. Doug makes a face. That's it. Right. Once.
Yep.
That's the video. And in fact, you could do more.
Right.
You could do way more than the planning and the thinking about it. And then you're not giving away a pattern, but it's easy.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Both are good. They serve different purposes. And not one better than the
enough
other.
Enough about me. What have you been up to?
Well, that's all you got?
That's all I got. I'm telling you, I've been running all week. It's just been a whirlwind. I'm surprised it's a week gone by already.
I think you were trying to text one of your kids a picture of your dad just you know, at the kitchen table, and you accidentally sent it to me.
I did.
And he, you know, I know you're going to tease me and call me gay for this, but he is adorable, an adorable old man. You know, he's just sitting there at the table with his oxygen on, and I just saw him and I went, aw. Aw. So, yeah, I wish him well, and feel bad for him that his wife's the way it is, she is right now. But, and you too, that you, yeah. So, anyway,
it's a crazy time to be at this stage of life. So, we'll see how it pans out.
Right. It's like right when you're done with your kids, then your parents become your kids, kind of, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway. So the basic kind of gist of my week has been two kind of main projects, finishing up Sitting Bull, which has proven to be anytime I do a Bark project, I can go into it with a certain level of detail. And I like detail, I think. And yep. I don't think of it that way. I just think of it as I like making it the way that I like to make it. But other people have said, you like detail. Okay, I like detail. So I've been doing bark carvings for so long. When I get to the larger scale stuff, it's to get the same level of information per square inch, you spend 50 times the time. I mean, just way more time. And so I'm finding with Sitting Bull, especially, there are so many elements in the headdress and there are elements in, you know, capturing his face properly. I'm just sitting there talking to a neighbor as they come over in the backyard to see what I'm working on. And all of a sudden I notice the cheek is jutting out too far. And this is after reworking the cheek 4 or 5 times. So, you know, there's always something to fix. And I wonder, I'd love to ask someone like Bruno Wolpath or someone more experienced than me what they do. But for me, it really helps a carving to have it around in the shop, you know, half finished, especially the big stuff, right? Because then I can go, oh gosh, that's not right. I need to fix that. I need to make that nose over, push it over to the left or shrink up the ball or the lips or the lower lip is sticking in too far or it comes out, you know. So anyway, digressing, I've been working on that. I made a mount. I mounted up, speaking of carving outside, my buddy came over and I got really jealous of him for carving in the backyard and enjoying the nice day out. So I brought my piece of basswood, my Sitting Bull carving out there, and I mounted up a piece of wood, made a fixture on the tree in my back porch.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about this. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was great, you know. Just awesome to sit out there and enjoy the sound of birds chirping and the sunlight. And, you know, it's warm, of course. It's Michigan warm, humid, but it's, yeah, you can't beat it.
Well, this that what you just said there, I was envious too. I saw you had that little setup on the tree there, and I was like, why am I not doing this? I always thought that I had to build like a little lean-to out in my yard, like a little carving, you know, like a little horse stable type little three-sided lean-to with a tin roof or something, and I'd have a post and I'd have my carving station in there. And then I was looking every time I walk out my front door, I gotta walk around my whole front porch. I probably have 80 feet of front porch.
Oh, like, man, it's
three sides of my house, and the front's I don't know, 55 and probably 24 feet on each side.
Wow.
And I only use like the front 20 feet really with the front door.
Yeah.
I don't have to build nothing. I can just make a carving station on the side of the house there. No one sees it. No, it's not going to be anyone's way. And I need to carve outside too. Because like you said,
fantastic.
I sit out there in the morning with my coffee sometimes and the birds are chirping and everything's going on and maybe a little breeze even. It's just fantastic. And again, with the being the porch, you already have the roof on anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to get that direct hot sunlight and the blinding light, but it's still a natural light, which is, you can't beat natural light. I mean, you can if you have enough money.
But yeah.
to the paupers here like me, that you can't. It's the best light, even for picture taking.
Right,
you know, natural light.
My heater turning on right now? It's 83 degrees in here, and I hear my heater turning on. You turn off. Jeez, oh Pete. Yeah, it's like that's exactly. You have a gold mine, right? The opposite. You have a landmine of a wood carving setup. There's a
difference, folks.
I gave my neighbor a landmine of fertilizer. My housemate's dog is leaving me a lot of landmines lately in my front yard while I'm cutting lumber and stuff out there for a construction project, which I'll get to. Oh man. All kinds of fun little. So the whole thing is when you're out there in the sun, it saps you of energy. I mean, I get tired out there. Like yesterday, day before yesterday, I was out, all I'm doing is pushing a chisel and I'm sweating and I'm tired. And today, overcast outside, carved more today than yesterday. And I feel great. So.
Well, I spent my entire day outside today.
Did you have sunshine?
Oh, it was hot this morning, but it was a little bit more overcast. But this afternoon, it was full sun all day, afternoon, and it was hot.
Yeah,
hot. I probably got a sunburn on my scalp.
Mm.
But
yeah,
I didn't wear my hat because that'd be even hotter. So
right. Well, yeah. So that, and then the other project has been this bench. I'm building a. You know these like seating areas that people have in their kitchens now? They're like almost booths, like seat, like bench booths, built-in booths. Yeah,
yeah, I actually like that, like a restaurant booth.
Yeah, yeah, basically a restaurant booth, but with the other side being like chairs, right? And then it's not like a booth where both sides are a booth. Oh, it's like an L.
One side is.
One side is a booth. Yep, and so you go.
So it's like a boo.
Yes, it's a bow, actually. Yeah,
a bow.
There's no elf. Yeah.
No, you're missing the elf.
That's right. No. So you have seen these. Okay. So what I'm saying is, I'm in between the idea of putting a round table. Imagine a little L. One leg is much longer than the other, just like me. And the question is, do I put a circle table in the corner or do I put a square table in the corner there? All the hip, you know, probably the HGTV people are all doing the round table, but that to me doesn't make any sense.
Well, the round table, you lose space in the corner.
Yeah, right. Yes.
All right. And even if you did, how would you make a round booth bench at the back in the corner?
You don't even make it round. People just they have a corner and they just shove a round table and it looks cute. My friend did this in her house in Nashville and it looks awesome, but is it practical? I don't know. You know, this is an example of it. For those who are listening, you can watch us on YouTube and see what we're talking about.
Yeah,
I mean,
that works too.
It works, but I want to maximize the whole point of this. Is I have a tiny house sized house. Like when I'm at dinner parties and people are like, oh, you have a house and you're how old? And there's always another friend who's nearby to be like, oh, I'm more of a shed, but yeah, he's a house.
He's in a shed.
So no room for a dining table, a decent sized one. The one that we have there is obstructing the pathway from the living room into the bathroom. So we've decided to move the whole dining area away from the living room, away from the bathroom, near the kitchen. So that's going to be the new dining area at this booth. Have some chairs at the table.
Yeah. Yep. And the beauty also is that with the bench on the backside, mm-hmm. you have a lot more storage.
That's right. Right. Then you get to that point where you have in a house my size, you have very little space. You have very little storage. No closets, so nothing.
And then with the table there, that's a good place to put all your doilies.
Yes, you have no idea how many doilies
I know.
A 27-year-old man can have.
I can imagine you have a lot of doilies.
Yeah. Yeah. I have doilies coming out of my ears. I have doilies coming out of the pores of my, I sweat doily.
Did you take a class in homeschool making doilies?
I did. I actually did. And I actually out-doilied my grandma. She wouldn't admit it, but I out-doilied my grandma. I could doily better than the best of them.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I remember doing when I was a kid? Was spool knitting.
What's that?
It's like you take a spool, a thread spool, which I actually have a whole box up here for carving. Yep. But you put four nails in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you use your yarn and you make this. I can't explain it. I haven't done it for 45 years. But you create this little snake
design
of knitted coil. And then you take those coils and then you could wrap them around like a snake and have like a hot plate. Or you can make something with the... By sewing all those little yarn snakes together.
Okay. Yeah. Something like that. No, I never did like that. No, we did the one thing we did like that. We did one year I did this thing called a co-op, which, you know, I won't say you should or shouldn't do it. If you're a homeschooler, just don't do it. Because the thing is about a co-op is unless somebody's mom is like a teacher or like a really bright person who like studies in depth certain subjects academically just for fun, you're going to have five or six moms with their kids going insane, running around, throwing stuff at each other, stabbing each other with big, sharp, pointy, real knives. And that's what ended up happening. But one of those classes that we did was history co-op. And we went to this campsite, and we went in the woods, and we had ivory soap and a little paring knife, and we all carved whatever we wanted out of soap. I don't know how this connected to history at all. How does that connect to history? Soap carving? I don't know. And so we did the history of our founding fathers. I don't know. Hobbies, I mean, of our founding. I don't know. So we did it, and I carved a soap truck. I blew it up with an M80, but that was my foray into wood carving. So, yes. So maybe you should do that. If you are a homeschool mom and you're looking at stuff like that, the one or two homeschool moms listening right now, maybe consider co-ops.
Well, I had my mother's here in the hospital too, and we were talking about things we used to do, and she used to do calligraphy.
Hmm.
You know calligraphy? Like she would get like a whole stack of diplomas and she'd,
really?
She'd write people's names in that big script, fancy script and stuff. And I had my own calligraphy pens too.
Really?
I learned how to do it too.
Really?
Not to the same extent.
Yeah.
She was way fancier than mine.
Right.
But I was just like a basic level of calligraphy. And that's why, like, to this day, I always like my little
family. Yeah, that's cool. Stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the pilot one?
This is a zebra.
Zebra. That's right. Yeah, so yeah, I think Pilot made one. Maybe it is a zebra. I used to have one.
I have a whole bunch of them around here, but yeah.
I must I never have
the fancy ones anymore because I always just neglect them. So...
I must have a certain like disability for that because I can't. I tried. I spent an entire 2 weeks sick, and the only thing that I learned how to do was write in capital letters, basically. I like fairly neatly, not calligraphy, just like normal boxy. I can't do it. I tried. I sat there. It's a special font called Hand Font 09. But all it is all caps where you make things long and thin. And that's all and it's still to this day, if I ever write anything nice on anything, it's always Hand Font 09.
Let me tell you, ask you as a young fella, how is your handwriting?
I don't know. Let's do a test.
Do you write? Did you learn how to write?
Let's see.
I know my kids don't even know how to write.
Well, no, I'm old enough. No, I'm of the generation that learned to write. You know, we did cursive in school. We did all the,
yep.
Yeah. But if okay. I
But if I write,
if I'm just gonna write my name on something, it's gonna look like this. Here's my name. Ready? That's about my handwriting. Yep. It's not That's good.
It's a print write. Yep.
It's bad. You cursive?
I don't now, but I know how.
When you met the Lord, like,
a lot of people don't know how at all. Never took it. They weren't taught it. So.
Right. No, that went away shortly after I was out of school. So
especially in this computer world with the I mean, I can't type. So
yeah, well,
they win that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a typing master. No, I'm not a type. My fiance, she can type up a storm when she's typing her papers. It's like, it's just one continuous noise. It's pretty neat. But
that was a little tangent. Was
my gosh, what are we even doing?
I don't know. This is a coffee and carving show with Doug and Alec.
Episode 35. I have really nothing else to share. Oh, that. So I built those. Those are probably, I don't know, 60% done. The structures and the booth. I mean, the structures in. I decided to use T111 to clad them, the structure, 2x4 structure, and I'm going to use 3/4 inch plywood, pine sanded plywood, with a top mounted hinge, because it's all going to get covered by a pad anyway, by like a, you know, upholstered foam pad.
Yep.
So just make it easy to open up and store things in, because I have zero storage in this house.
Are you going to, is the lid going to close into it? Or a lip over it.
It's gonna have a lip, kind of like an old box. Good. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otherwise, it kind of right.
Because you got to face that plywood then, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, will I?
Won't you? Do you want to look at plywood? The edge of plywood.
True. What am I gonna do to the edge of that plywood? Just
making it. You can edge band it, or just cut a little 1/8-inch strip and glue it on.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Unless I paint the whole thing, we're thinking of painting it too. In which case, still going to see it, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, it's still
good. You have to band it.
You got to put an edge on it.
Yeah, unless you're like filling it with some sort of crazy spackling and getting rid of all the grain. Yeah.
Waste of time.
I'm going to hand fill it in with a toothpick using Bondo. Each and every crevice and hole I'll fill with Bondo.
Yeah. You can still, if you can put a thicker edge on it too, and you can route it. Nice round edge, nice smooth round edge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a cool idea. Lots of good thoughts. Yeah, stuff to think about. I should have called you. I don't know why I haven't talked to you about it. Well, I know not.
Well, you have a dad. You have a dad.
Yeah, I have a dad. Well, I have a father. Daddy? Are you dad, Doug? So, yeah, I do have a dad. He's on vacation though right now. So.
Oh, why don't you talk about that?
So, Doug, you know about this man named Vic Hood, right?
Yes.
We had Doug on the show a couple months back. Yeah.
Vic.
Mm-hmm.
Not Doug. Doug's always on the show. We had Vic Hood on the show.
You know a man named Doug, I said? Doug Hood?
We had Doug on a couple weeks ago.
Did we have Doug on a couple weeks ago? Well, that's true.
Oh, my goodness. Statement. Carry on.
So anyway, we had Doug Hood on the show Vic Hood on the show, and he was fantastic. Everybody loves Vic. I love Vic. Vic says to say hello to you because my parents saw him. They visited Nashville, and I said, you guys have to go to Leaper's Fork and see Vic Hood. And they did. They went out there and they loved it. They sent me tons of pictures of the town. There's so many nice things to see in that little town. And they sent me some pictures of my dad and Vic together, and I knew that they would hit it off because my dad is a hobbyist luthier, a fantastic luthier, a really, really skilled one. And my and of course Vic at one time in his former life was a fantastic builder of guitars and banjos. So here's a nice picture of my dad and Vic working on just hanging out, looking at banjos. It's
nice.
Yeah.
Now Vic, he leans towards the railroad man pants, whereas you're more of the Carhartt
Yeah, he really does. He almost always has these on.
I had a pair like that like 20 years ago.
Really?
With the striped ones, they were big boy or something. There.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I. You know what? I was working on this project yesterday, and I gave my tool belt to Annalise, and I didn't have anything to put on or pockets to hold all my junk. So I put this on and started filling the holes with screws, and it's awesome.
No, it's I wish I could wear them every day, but I don't.
Yeah. No, and it's just a style too. It's kind of an interesting one, but
yeah.
I like it. But yeah, Vic is the coolest dude. I'm convinced he's one of the coolest dudes in the world. But yeah, well, great guy. That's basically all about for me. I talked way too much.
I would be very. This is a great thing to watch for me because I want to see what the end result for Sitting Bull will be, or where he goes, or how this whole. Because that's been a labor of love for many, many months, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I originally thought he was going to be like a freestanding sculpture. And then I thought, nobody buys freestanding sculptures. I have to make it a wall-hanging structure carving. And so I hollowed out the back. I made a little spot for it to hang. I put it up on the wall. And it looked absolutely ridiculous, horrible. and so I just put it, mounted it back up to the wall in the shop and the fixture here, and started rethinking it, started from scratch, and decided that I would make the base a little bit more narrow, try and make it so that you could hang this if you wanted to, but you could also put it on a stand somewhere. So yeah,
but it looked horrible. It just stuck out too far, too big, too bulky.
Oh, it was huge. It was huge, and the back, the bottom of it was sticking out. It looked like it was. It looked like you. It was an afterthought. It looked like
it's missing a table.
It's like hanging a table on the wall.
It's missing a table underneath. Yeah.
It was horrible. It made me laugh. The idea that I'd spent that much time on something and then hung it up on the wall and it looked that stupid was. Awesome. It was awesome.
Well.
So I'm excited to, I'm going to make a little video. So a little YouTube video about it. So we'll see. Hopefully not as bad as the last ones I made. I'm going to delete those when I put this one up, because those, the ones that I put up were in that phase of making horrible YouTube videos as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Still horrible, but not as horrible now. So. That's it.
Well,
let's move on.
Let's move on to our segment that we've all grown to love. Or not. Mail. Do I have to? Mail. Just say it next time.
Just say it. I'm going to make you sing it every single time. I love it.
I don't. Dougie doesn't sing.
That's the best part of it, though, really.
I know.
Also, look how artsy my mom got when she was sending me pictures of my dad walking into Vic's studio. Like, here's a picture of him mid-walk.
In action.
Yeah.
In action. Yeah.
It's almost like I'm watching a vlog of them hanging out. So we got a few great questions, actually. You know, some good feedback this time, so we appreciate it. First one's from a gentleman named Rob Acox. He is got some inquiries for us, and Rob is definitely a man with a southern accent. I can tell that based on his name. And so I'm gonna do a southern accent for reading this. This is Rob Acox by Alclacast. Thank you for listening. Hey y'all, a few inquiries for you. How much is too much basswood? I inherited from some friends 3 boxes of by the pound basswood. A whole whack, to include a big block of butternut. Their family member was a carver who passed away, and they donated all the carving wood to me. I read that so stupidly. Okay, here we go. Let me start this again. I inherited from some friends 3 boxes of by the pound basswood, a whole whack, to include a big block of butternut. Okay, it's just written that way. All right. Their family member was a carver who passed away, and they donated all the carving wood to me. I'll tell you what, right now, I'm up to my ears in basswood. I'm up to my ears. When did you decide it was time to seek out professional instruction to level up your carving skills? Was his second question. Which, first of all, what is that first question? What's the answer to that?
We're just enablers here, and you cannot have too much mess with it. It's a farce. It's a farce that's been passed down from many a wife. Rob, you're in good company. Yep. Hoard that basswood.
That's right.
You're good to go.
Yeah, to me, kind of looks like I'm going to call it Rob Acoxing somebody when they brag on their basswood subtly by complaining that they have too much of it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I have too much of? Basswood, the most sought after wood carving wood. I wish I had somewhere to put all this basswood. No, you can't have any.
It's like you and your bark.
Yeah. Right. Well,
it's like it was finding hen's teeth, and you got a whole truckload of bark.
Mm-hmm. So this is a great question, though. Rob says, when did you decide it was time to seek out professional instruction to level up your carving skills?
Soon.
Yeah, I hope to do that soon. We both should.
Very soon.
We both should one day. In addition to basswood, I inherited a huge drawn. Okay. Seriously? You Rob Acoxing us, Rob? In addition to basswood, I inherited a humongous draw knife that appears to be old. I can't read. And was wondering if you would have some insights to it. The manufacturer stamp says here, Palmer. I haven't closed Palmer. A photo. Thanks, as always. Rob Acox.
Palmer, I don't even recognize the name.
Oh my gosh, my phone's in auto turn mode here. But yeah, look at that. That's a nice little logo there.
Yeah, no, it looks like a good tool.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't know nothing about Palmer tools.
Mm-mm. Me either.
No, nope.
But we get it, Rob. You have a lot of really nice things, okay? A lot for making us feel bad. Okay, Michael Ham. Okay, this guy is definitely from the north. Hey, fellas. I love the upgrades and efforts to the show. The new video and audio quality are professional grade. Now, if we could get Alec to sit still and not walk around, laugh out loud, maybe tap his mic to his shirt. Tape, sorry. He spelled it tap. Oh, boy. Oh, no problem. Okay. I kid. Seriously, thanks to you both for the content. My wife walked by and saw I was watching the podcast the other day and says, oh, sorry, I didn't know you were having friends over. Question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he says, no, question.
I was just going to say, I'm glad he caught that one episode when we had better quality.
Yeah. That was just a tease.
Remember that time when we had good quality, except for that little echo part there, but otherwise it was pretty good quality.
Yeah, it echoed and it was clear, but yeah, that
bigger face. I like the pictures were bigger. Go ahead. Question is,
do you think? No, whoa, sorry. I apologize, Michael. I apologize for the accent. Do you think beavers have a taste preference for certain tree species? I do a lot of Christmas ornament carving, Santa's, Grinches, etc. When carving the face, is there a pecking order you have in mind when roughing in? For example, 1, nose, 2, eyes, 3, brow, temple, 4, chin. I feel like I got the nose somewhat set, then I'm jumping around a lot randomly. Almost like I'm finding the face rather than carving the face. Don't know if that makes sense. Okay, so there you go. There's your question. Lots of great stuff. Thanks for the template, Doug, he says, and he's got some nice pictures of some carvings that he did. Nicely done.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Well, what do you want to talk about that? What's your order?
Old beaver. I don't know if they have I just know they like trees that like to grow along the riverbank, such as the alders and the willows and stuff like that.
Wait.
I don't know. I have never done a deep dive into willow or beaver preferences for trees, but I do see a lot of the poplar alder type trees coming down.
All I know, if I was a beaver, I would do some market analysis, find out which wood beavers like most, and then market that by featuring images of more rural kind of like tribal beavers consuming this higher quality wood to convey that it's natural, organic, and healthy.
If I was a beaver.
No, I would not do that.
If I was a beaver, I would use my brain and say, hey, maybe that tree's a little bit too big to bite. Maybe a bit off more than you can chew.
Ooh.
Because I say that, because nothing frustrates me more than walking along the river and seeing some monster tree that they bit, chewed halfway into it and left, abandoned.
Right.
Aborted the mission.
Yeah.
Mind you, it could be that beaver need to keep chewing stuff to keep their teeth down because teeth keep growing. But that's a big goal, and then they just abandoned it. So, I mean, that's not, could be long-term goals. Maybe they're killing the tree to fall into the river, maybe for their children in a generation.
Right.
You know, long-term planning, but no.
Like, man, have you, the kids are always being asked by their parents if they have done any like larger tree cutting, like, you get through that big oak halfway yet? And the kids are always like, no, dad, I'll get to that when I have more time. I don't have time. But you got to invest in your future and your kids' future, you know.
Don't plant a tree, chew a tree.
Yeah. They're like, I don't know. So as far as the face goes, do you have an order? Do you go one nose, two eyes, three? What do you do?
Three eyes?
How many eyes do you have?
I always cut. This is just me. This is not right because no one's told me how to do it otherwise. But I always bottom of the nose, set that, brow ridge. That's it. And after that, everything falls in place.
Yep.
Brow ridge gives you the eyes,
mm-hmm.
bottom of the nose, and the mouth is fairly close between between the nose and the chin. It's a little bit higher.
Yeah.
And Bob's your uncle.
Bob is my uncle. All right. Yeah, so I do that too, but except I don't do that first part. I just start with the brow, the forehead, then I block in the nose. Then I do oftentimes the mound of the mouth as I, you know, after I've kind of defined the bottom of the eyes and as a part of the brow ridge. Yeah. So,
well, I can play with the bottom of the nose after I get the brow ridge in, but I want to make sure that I got the forehead that I need.
Yeah.
But I've made some carvings before and the noses were always, so I always go, the size of the nose tells me everything else about the face.
Totally true for me too. Yep.
So, I mean, I always get that nose set because otherwise if it's a small nose, it's a smaller eyes, and hence carry on. Because especially with bark, you can make whatever you want. The size, the length of the head doesn't matter. Mm-mm. It's just getting those. You build off of that central structure that you create.
Yep.
So if you do a big nose, you can do a bigger face, and it will run out into nothing.
Yep.
Right. So.
Right. Yeah. So to sum it all up for you, Michael. The nose goes. So that's
nose,
it.
Nose.
The nose, nose, nose. Stan says, Alec, my question is, have you tried to glue up slabs or bark pieces before carving? Do you think it will work? It's an interesting idea, Stan. Let me think about this idea. This is a beautiful idea. Hold on.
Yeah, we didn't have that little swirly thing going where he goes off.
Let me think about this for a second before I answer this without thinking. Oh, that's a good idea.
Forget about that. Like, I will talk about it. I haven't done it myself, but I know it can be done because I watch the whimsical house carvers always like to hollow out, take two pieces. And the trick of the whole thing is it'd be great to have a joiner that you can just run the bark and get a nice clean plane. And then you glue it together. But a lot of the house carvers, they'll hollow out the middle and glue the two houses together.
Yep.
So that way you can have your little light inside or whatever, you can see through it. But hard to hollow out the middle without having access to it.
You know what's funny? I haven't carved a single piece. I didn't even wait for you to say what. I don't care about you. I haven't carved a single piece of bark in a while.
Yeah.
Mostly wood. Somebody I know bought me, actually, fascinating story about this guy. his liver was gone. It wasn't working anymore. It just stopped working. He turned pale. He started losing weight. He couldn't keep his thoughts in order. He lost his mind. He got on a list for a liver donation and didn't get any donors, was about to die on his deathbed. His daughter went on the list, went to the doctor's office, got all checked up, got the green light, and was told that she could donate her part of her liver to her dad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because the liver just needs a little part to replenish itself because
right.
It regrows.
You knew this?
That's cool.
I didn't know about that. I'd never heard of that. Yep. So she was about to do it. And the day that she went to the doctor's office to have this thing checked out, they got a call from Beaumont, the hospital, saying, "Mr. So-and-so, we found a liver. We have a liver. There's a man or a woman here who has had a stroke or I think brain damage. And can you be in by tomorrow at 6 a.m? And so, yeah, gave him a new liver. Anyway, that guy bought me a domain recently to kind of gift to me called something about bark. And I thought like bark to art to bark or something, or bark at art or something like that. And I thought that is such the sweetest guy, good idea. But I don't know if I want to be identified by bark. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Like you don't want
to pigeonhole. Can't pigeonhole Alec.
Yeah, you don't want to just be
the world.
You know. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I wear overalls, man. I'm a cultured person. I have a hat on it with duct tape on it. So
why
duct tape?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the logo. It's a nice hat, but it's got a huge ugly logo on it. So I just figured, you know what? No more free advertising for Adidas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that looks sillier, but anyway.
Yeah. I like it.
That's just my opinion. You know what I love? Mm-hmm. I love I rarely do you find logos on my clothing. I prefer things without logos.
Yeah.
But our old buddy Jimmy Duresta,
mm-hmm.
he'll buy a brand new DeWalt saw and he'll spray paint the whole thing white. And he says, I'll advertise for them when they pay me.
Right. Yeah. Well, how about that,
Adidas? You know what? He's not wrong. I like it.
But yeah.
Sorry.
Absolutely. So what else we got? We got more. We've been going, man, for a while.
Did we answer a question?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question. Did we answer any of the questions? Yeah, we did. We did. Tabitha, she has a question about Santa. Did I read this yet? Tabitha, no. Hey, guys. This is Tabitha. Thank you, Tabitha, for your thing here.
Hope all is well with you. A quick question for you, Doug. I keep noticing Santas. I guess it would be to his right on the shelf. How tall are they? Can you show them? And were they made off the corner? I think they are cool. We only ever get to see just a glimpse of them. Love your show and congratulations to you, Alec, on your upcoming nuptials. Tabitha, my phone number is 586-808.
Hey. Don't do that.
Just kidding. It wasn't her number.
These guys here?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what she's talking about.
Yeah.
So these are all 12 inches tall.
Yep.
And they are on the corner and they're just a 4x4 split.
Yeah. Those are great.
They're kind of fun. Some are dumb. Like this guy looks kind of dozy.
No, that's super nice. I really like that. That's actually my favorite one. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I think that was probably pre-Bark when I wanted to do bigger faces. Didn't have any Bark.
So I can't continue to read the question in that voice, but any questions in any more voices? But Lee asks here, thank you, by the way, Tabitha. Hello, Doug and Alec. I'm a true beginner on carving on a regular basis since December.
Now hang on. Now imagine you're Lee.
Yeah.
And you're just waiting for your question. You've suffered through the last three people with the accent.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I'm done accents now. Let's read Lee's question. I think I would be disappointed.
Yeah.
Right?
Man.
Put yourself in Lee's shoes for a change. And
I feel bad. I shorted him. My neighbor just walked by. Okay, no, Lee.
It's not over.
Lee, what do you want me to do, man? Just speak to me right now with your spirit. Oh, I can't. Oh, no. I can't tell what he's saying. No. Okay, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to pick an accent. It's going to be a Southern accent, but it's going to be like a deeper, more like slow, more arduous kind of man. Like,
hey, Doug and Alec, I'm a true beginner, and I've been carving on a regular basis since December. Thanks to Doug and his wonderful tutorials, I have had a lot of fun carving over 30 different pieces. They are extremely satisfying. I recently purchased some small pieces of bark to try my hand at bark carving. What would you guys suggest is a good item to start with? Is a wood spirit a good beginner's project? Doug, have you made any bark carving tutorials? Thank you both. That's
the question.
Love the show. Lee Godin.
Yeah, well, we hit the we already covered the last half of that question in the beginning, talking about if I've made any tutorials. But what's a good carving to start with? Definitely wood spirit. I'm all about the wood spirits. I like the wood spirits. You know, I don't.
See, if wood spirits are a good idea, yeah, I think that's probably the best fun, yeah. Yes, because easy with the hair, you have covered the chin and the all the cheeks and everything like that. It's easier to carve, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Josh.
I definitely have more bearded wood spirits than anything else. So.
Yep. Okay, Josh Lewis. Let's say it at the same time. We know who this guy is, where he's from, right? He is from 3, 2, 1. First thing that comes to mind, Canada. Africa. That's right, Canada. Good. Insert time of day from sunny East Coast. Okay, my question is, where does your inspiration hit, eh? Walking to the store, watching something on the TV, or the telly, as I like to call it. Wake up in the middle of the night with an idea. Recently, I was at the... this one's hard to maintain. Recently, I was at the dollar store and saw a children's sprinkler in the shape of a fire hydrant. I can't freaking do this. Why does he always turn Irish? Well, my first thought was what would be an interesting carve with Doug's patented cartoon eyes. Cute and weird, eh? I was thinking along the lines of Doge in his giant novelty pencil. Second thought was how mad I would be if my wife would be if I bought it from the dollar store. Dude, you got bigger problems, bigger fish to fry if your wife's upset at you for buying something at the dollar store.
Yeah.
Your wife doesn't like you if you can't spend a dollar. Yeah. All the women are leaving the show. Yeah. Go look
at another pencil from the dollar store.
Dude, you should be. Did your wife should be happy.
For those shoes.
Yeah. Those shoes.
Oh, I hate to break it to you, but I bought another pair of shoes from the dollar store. I hope you don't beat me.
I'm gonna try and step in and answer your question seriously, though.
Right. Go ahead. Try. I dare you.
I love the dollar store.
Really?
I love secondhand stores where they have like a bin of. Porcelain crap that nobody wants, like the statues and stuff. They help you see how a person will sit. They help you see how they reach for nickel and dime. And they don't even have to be what you want to carve. It's just those shapes. Like, you don't have to, like, you could have an angel being turned into a leprechaun. It's just the movements and he's right, a fire hydrant. Again, fire hydrant. Dynamite stick, candle, anything. You can slap a face. You can put a face on anything. You can have a happy lighthouse. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe we should. There's inspiration just hit.
Yeah. See? There you go.
See, I'm going to do a blowing lighthouse.
Ooh, I like that.
It's like the bad lighthouse.
Yep.
Come here. I'm gonna create a storm, and you're gonna crash, and then my little sirens are gonna come and gather you up. And yeah.
The follow up question here is: was the supply run?
Totally ignored everything I said.
Was the supply run video loosely based on the log driver's waltz?
No.
Okay.
The supply run was loosely based on my Paddle to the Sea video, but I made it, wanted to make it more gnomish and tell a better story. Because the Paddle to the Sea one that I made is I love that story, but I just made it, I just made a goofier version, honestly.
There you go.
Inspiration. I'm gonna keep going. I'll keep yapping my gum.
Wait.
The inspiration. I work by myself, which I love, and I think of the most ridiculous things all day long.
Yeah.
And sometimes an idea will pop in my head. I'll write it down. By evening, I'll look at it and say, "Are you on drugs? Like, what is wrong with your head? Like, how'd you, you know?" Because this crazy brain just keeps on churning and churning, and I think of crazy things, and sometimes they're worthwhile, and sometimes it's just garbage. But
right,
my brain is always coming up with silly nonsense things.
Yeah. For me, I have to usually, you know, an idea comes to me when I'm reading something or if somebody says something, and then it'll kind of evolve from talking with people. Or I don't think I ever have just a completely original on its own thought. You know, it's always sparked from something else. And so, yeah, I always read. I started, even thought about reading this book about free will. And I absolutely got into this idea. This sounds so freaking artsy fartsy, but I decided to do an art piece, a carving piece that has some like elements of meaning to it besides just the look of it. So you have this cat that won't leave me alone. My neighbor's cat came over and it's just stayed over. And so I've been taking care of it. And it's adorable. I really don't like cats at all, but this cat Stevie has become my little pal. And I decided I was going to put her in there. And I was talking,
time.
Yeah, little Stevie time. So I took some pictures of her. Time. What's that?
Oh, sorry. I was just saying Stevie's your little pal for now.
Yeah, for a time, right?
Stevie will move on too.
Yeah. Like they all do.
That's so mean. I'm sorry.
It's probably true. Stevie will get tired of me for sure. But Stevie right now is my friend. Okay. So anyway, back to my story before I was rudely interrupted.
Yeah.
This cat is cute. I got some pictures of it. I want it to be attacking a bird, but I want there to be like a setting, right? I don't just want to carve a bird being eaten by a cat or being chased by a cat, but I want to have this woman's hair flowing back, right? This drawing I showed you, everyone, yeah, and you guys voted on where these elements are woven into it. But that was just from somebody mentioning a book. I didn't even read it. I ended up reading the book and it was kind of eh, but anyway. So yeah, just usually from random stuff. Yeah. Sometimes it'll be talking to people or seeing, usually not from other carvings though, surprisingly. I don't find as much maybe inspiration in carvings as I haven't from you'd think at least. So, all right, here's a question from Jason Leach. What does Jason Leach sound like?
When you're carving a realistic creature, do you prefer to create based on your imagination, or do you carve based on an actual person, etc.?
Did you hear what I was saying?
Well, I figured out, he says, basically he's saying, do you carve from your imagination or from a photo? And I know your answer, so let it out.
Yeah. Use photographs always, almost always, 70% of the time. But then I also like to sketch before a carving, so there's that. So sometimes I'll fold other things into it, my cat, Doug's beard. No, I've never done that, but what do you do?
Thank you. Oh, it's a fault, to be honest. Seaweed eating water rabbit. It is a fault because I should be looking at photographs more. I've always said this. I always like dig into something and just go wing it. Yeah. I wing too much and I always end up not where I want to be. Well, sometimes it works out, but I wing too much. I need to have some, I need to focus on a picture and just get those elements down better.
I think it's great to be able to use your imagination. I think it's great. Two, this question may be more for Doug, as I live in Southern Ontario, but I hear Alec talk about various live carving shows and workshops. Is there anything like that in Ontario?
I don't know of anything, no, to be honest. Most wood shows that I've ever been to, or wood, anything that had carving, was always like tacked onto a woodworker show. They just have like a little section on the back end. Now, there was something in Toronto, I guess, and I also do know of, I've never had any interaction or involvement, but there is an Ontario Carvers Association that came up once I saw, and they have some events and stuff, but I don't do bird carving either, and it seems to, I don't know, you gotta be in a city. I'm not in a city. I have no hope of joining anything, or you know,
you'll never make it, Doug. Not in the real world.
Everything I would want to do would be a 3-hour drive, so I don't we have the internet,
right? That's right? True. That's where the
well, I maintain, comes from. I mean, at this stage of the game too, like, I have never carved with somebody before, yeah, to this day. So I don't know why you have to eat seaweed on the podcast.
Okay, here's one from a guy named Forrest, and hopefully it's Forrest E. Forrest. Why do I have to eat pie? You ask me a question, I'll answer it, right? I'm not going to gloss over it. Because it's the most delicious, salty snack. And it has great audibles, man. People love those audibles. Mm-hmm. Actually, comment below. Do you like those beautiful audibles? Do you like the sweet, sweet sound of...
Sorry, folks.
Welcome to Doug and I's ASMR.
We're almost to the end of our show.
Why do hockey coaches hate checking their email?
Oh, I do. I heard this one. Let her go.
Because they don't like getting too many forwards. Oh!
Too many forwards.
What a knee slapper that one is. Thank you, Forrest. I like it. I do really like it. He says, I love your show. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry. Sorry, Forrest, it's not you, it's me. We got a podcast to do here. Lots of really nice comments. Thank you so, so much. I appreciate it. For Alec, how do you stay inspired or come up with things that are interesting to you? You've been at this a long time, and I realize you make a living at it, but do you ever get artist's block? I find that I almost run out of ideas at times. Doug, I see your carvings are absolutely everywhere online. I see them on Etsy, Twitter, and have even seen them at a flea market. They aren't labeled Doug Linker, but rather people taking them as their own. But they are copies that someone took from your videos. Does that flatter you or bother you? Or maybe you don't care. I try to take techniques and manipulate them to make them my own. I don't sell anything because I'm terrible, but there are a lot of copies out there. Sorry for the long emails. The email, keep up the good work and see you down the road. No, thanks for it.
What's my quick answer would be yes.
Yep.
On yeah. Both accounts.
Correct.
No, I make the videos. I give away, like, when I make a video, I like to think it's mostly my, unless I say specifically that it's such and such pattern, but, no, I do a lot of work to come up with an idea or in a pattern that's easy to carve, and I lay it out for you, and, it's yours.
Right.
You take it and you make your own. What would bother me? Maybe I would be bothered by saying an original one of a kind when I read that original one of a kind only carving, and it's my carving. But do I care? No, not too much. I know what you mean. I see them all over the place, and a lot of people never mention me. And what? Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be more concerned with other things than that, but because. Well, I'll leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I make the videos for you, and they're yours.
Yeah.
But if you claim, or I like it when people, and again, it's just petty. So, but people say, thanks to Joe Blow for this pattern of this owl or whatever. Well, it's mine. So, but I definitely honestly don't care that much. I just,
oh yeah,
when I read sometimes the one of a kind or whatever, I'm like, well, you're a liar.
Yeah,
that's all. But nope,
right.
I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah. I don't care. I don't care about you, stupid people.
No, that's what they're for.
Yeah,
and yeah. As long as they don't sign my name on it,
that's where you start getting into some real weirdness, and, right?
And, or stealing my t-shirts, or stealing my videos. And
people are coming into your house and stealing your t-shirts.
No, my designs. Remember, they're selling my designs,
right,
as their own.
Oh boy. Well,
I don't like that.
Speaking of
like
which, that. We have our own merch. You can find it at the link in the description.
Right below. Yes, in the little link tree down there where, what is it? We got buy me a coffee, t-shirts. We've got
super thanks now.
Oh, YouTube has super thanks. Yeah, that's new, brand new this week.
Yeah. Yep. That's cool. So anything helps us, you know, we appreciate it. Keep affording the coffee and the seaweed.
Well,
couple of questions for you.
No,
I'm just kidding. he did ask me how I stay inspired or come up with things that are, you know. I have artist block all the time. That's where other carvers do help, is when I see like someone killing the game or a sculptor doing something really cool. It makes me like, makes me excited to try something. Maybe they give me a new concept or something, or maybe they're just kicking butt and they're making carvings every single day that are awesome. And that motivates me to try things. So, yep. Just, you know, all the cliches, you know, keep your eyes open, you know, don't fall asleep in the middle of the game. Don't, try not to cry when you're sad or something.
All right, let's go. Media. Right.
Media.
I can't imagine the worst intro.
Media Hour.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, what have you been watching, reading, learning, artists, anything?
Yeah.
Anything outside of yourself?
Weird. I've been, my buddy came over, Joel. I've mentioned him before on the show, but hey, I'll make him my featured artist again. He is awesome. Joel Grothaus is like kind of like one of those guys when you meet him, you feel like you're introduced to somebody who's like a fine art, like a Renaissance painter from the, you know, 1800s or something, or from that Renaissance era, you know, the 1900s of the Renaissance era. Joel Grothaus, Grothaus. And he's a G, straight gangster. He's really good. Other than that, I have been pretty much listening to nonstop. I've been listening to, my 2016 playlist Spotify made me. Yeah. And it's a lot of Alan Stone. Are you familiar with Alan Stone?
No, I don't know the name at all.
Yeah, he's great. So those will be my two guys, Alan Stone and my good buddy, Joel, my new buddy. What about you?
Cool. No, well, like I said before, I have had no time to do nothing, but I did get caught on YouTube, and I found this fantastic man who just seems to love life.
Mm.
Or you would think he doesn't love life because of what he does. But his name is Robert Maddox, M-A-D-D-O-X. Huh. And he's not an artist. He's not a painter. He's not a carver. He is an engineer marvel. But he's a crazy wild man because he puts... jet rockets on, or rocket engines on everything. He has rocket engines on bicycles, on skateboards, on it, and he goes out in the desert and just lets these things scream. He's got this flaming, glowing orange, molten jet engine right behind his head, and he's got this big beard flowing, and he's filming himself with a GoPro flying down this thing all by himself in the middle of nowhere, blasting off these jet engines. And he's just smiling and loving it. And he's great. The Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
Good so old go Robbie check him out on YouTube if you want to have a laugh, because I just thought it was fantastic. I love that he is smart enough to make these engines. But I also love that B, he's brave enough to go up by himself and fire them off. But C, that he doesn't need a big, he doesn't bring anybody with him. He's just doing it. He's just doing it. Like, it's just high speed. Like I said, these engines are just like molten orange right behind his head. And it's just screaming down the highways or down the salt flats or deserts or whatever it is. It's cool. That's my pick. That's all I got.
Robert Maddox.
Thanks, everybody. Take your vitamins.
Thanks for hanging out with us this week, folks. And we'll see you next week on episode number
36.
36. Wow. Have a good week, everybody.